Yeah, so we'll be here to, I think 3 in the morning should be the latest. No.
I started to panic a little bit there.
The title of this episode going to be Death March?
Now, come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd. Nerd up, y'all.
N-E-R-D up. N-E-R-D up.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson.
Welcome to another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. We've got all sorts of great nerdy things to talk about. I'm Guilty Wilson, along with
Tim Coker,
Tim Matson,
and Kirk Gilman.
We're going to get into some real good nerdy stuff, but before we do that, I got to put the word out. I've got some stuff going on the website. First of all, you can listen to any podcast on the website itself, nerduppodcast.com. Also, don't forget, buy our t-shirts. Walk around looking good with a picture of the Nerd Up Podcast crew, all designed by our very own Tim Coker. Beautiful shirts, make you look cool. Also, you probably heard of Loot Crate. It's a nerdy monthly subscription box where you get all sorts of nerdy things. Well, maybe you've never heard of Geek Fuel. Well, Geek Fuel is the same thing as Loot Crate, but different items. Isaac and I both subscribe to those, and we get them every single month. We get to compare items or swap items, whatever it is. And each month there's something different. And if you want to subscribe, trust me, these are fun. Go to our website, nerduppodcast.com. Just click on the banners, and we'll get credit for it and maybe even help, you know, support the podcast a little more. So there's another way you can help us out on the podcast. All right, so now let's talk about the new TV series, Preacher. Was that Vertigo Comics? Was that a line of Vertigo Comics?
It might have even predated Vertigo, but really? If not, it would have been right at the time when Vertigo was starting.
Okay. You
know, early 90s, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. Because,
and here's the thing. Tim, you're going to be the specialist on this one. I have a funny feeling because I wanted to read that comic so bad, but never did. That and Sandman, never did. I always wanted to read those, but never did. Now they got the series out, and I'm feeling that I really don't have to, although I'm going to still do it, because the way they set this series up, every frame looks like it's a comic book frame. It is so beautiful. I mean, there's moments when it's like when they cut to a new scene, it's like that's straight out of a comic book frame, a panel right there. It's like that's perfect. And then things happen and it's fun. Tim, I'm going to let you take the lead on this here in a second. But I got to say that I love Cassidy. Cassidy is my favorite so far. All right. Who all here has read Preacher first?
I have.
Tim,
I was never cool enough to.
I don't think I was.
Oh, you guys.
Tim's got a chip on his shoulder.
No. I have no chip.
Okay.
No chip whatsoever. It's just one that I, for some reason or other, I mean, mostly being poor, I had to really pick and choose comics, and that just was one I didn't choose. I know it was incredibly popular and well-respected, but I just never got into it. I chose Sandman instead of Preacher.
Ah. Okay.
Both good. Hey, Tim, that's why you got to live close to Tim Coker and Jason Jones. I could get anything, my hands on anything I want.
Nice.
Yeah.
Comic book enablers.
Oh, great.
Well, Tim Coker, take the lead on this. How are they doing on the series compared to the comic?
I think it's pretty great. And it's funny because I've gone into it kind of skeptical, and I have every episode, every time I watch it, I always, you know, I'm kind of ready for it not to be that great. And it keeps pleasantly surprising me. I think it's a really smart show. It's incredibly different from the comics, which is a shock for me because I didn't remember the comics well at all. And I've been rereading them. I'm about 3/4 of the way through the run. And I mean, from the jump, it's completely different. Like the bones are there, but so many things that are really important to the comic are different in the show. And I think it's a really good reason because reading the comic, if they did it just like the comic, well, first of all, like the Tulip character would not work now because she's a very dated idea of who this character would be. I think she's much more passive and she's much less kind of capable, you know, of doing stuff, and they have maybe overcorrected for that, but just as one example, you know, the whole deal with his father is completely different in the comics. Like, I think that, like, for instance, reading it, it's inevitable at some point to be like, hey, I already saw this show. It's called Supernatural, except Supernatural came, you know, 15 years later or whatever.
Right.
There are ideas that are really central to the comic that I think show up sort of in Buffy. So if they had been really super faithful to the comic, I think it would have been the John Carter syndrome, where it's something that was massively influential and now feels familiar. So I absolutely approve of the changes they made. I think it's great. Okay. I think, you know, Tim, are you watching it?
No, I haven't sat down to watch it yet, but it is one that I do plan on watching.
Do you know that Ruth Negga's in it from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? I remember you were a big fan of hers from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
No, I did not know that.
She's also on Misfits, actually, which means I guess that she's English, although I wouldn't have guessed that. But she is phenomenal on this show. She's, yeah, you know, basically one of the three leads.
Yeah.
I do like her a lot. I think she's incredibly talented.
Yeah, she's great. She's one of the kind of current generation of super badass female kind of characters. And she fits really well into that and kind of does her own thing. So, yeah. Dominic Cooper, wait, not Dominic Cooper. Wait, what's the guy's name? The actor that plays?
I just forgot and I just said that because I think it was Dominic Cooper.
Howard Stark from the Marvel Cinematic Universe, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's in it. And he's great. He's a totally different character in this. And it's good. The show's morally interesting. It's morally ambiguous and morally interesting.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I have no idea where they're going.
Hands down, man, Cassidy is that guy. Oh, the actor.
Dominic Cooper. It is Dominic Cooper.
Okay. Dominic Cooper, okay. Nope. And then the guy playing Cassidy is just...
Oh, he's fantastic.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And again, better than in the comics, I think.
Yeah.
Now, is Cassidy in the comics?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and he's like the thousand-year-old vampire thing?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
I don't know about the... But he is, you know, the premise is all there.
Okay, okay. Because I don't know. It's like, he started out, I'm like, oh, here's the villain. And then like, no. This guy's freaking cool. So I fell in love with him. Now of course Preacher himself. I don't know. I haven't figured out the character. I mean I'm loving it. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm loving it, but I haven't figured out where he's going to go with it. And I think that's part of the intrigue of the show too, is that they're not going to tell you where it's going to go until they go there. And and I'm loving that aspect of it. But man, there's some times I'm like, oh, come on, just give me a hint, you know.
Yeah.
But Cassidy, just that the guy, the actor playing him is just got it just down pat. I'm loving every aspect of it. Where he covers himself up with the Chinese hat and the robes to get so he can go out in the sun. Is that at all in the comic?
I don't know if that specific costume is, but there are a number of humorous sequences in the comics where Cassidy covers himself with whatever's handy.
Okay. You know? Because that right there, that looked like a scene out of a comic when he just hit, seeing him in the shadow with that on. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
Again, every scene looks like a comic panel, and I'm liking that a lot.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of graphic sophistication to the show, definitely.
Yeah.
Like the design of the characters and like Jackie Earle Haley,
who's
phenomenal in this show.
Yes.
And those glasses on him, you know, those really are like a very visual design choice. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yep.
And, I don't know. It's a really smart show, and I'm genuinely have no idea where they're going to go with it, and I mean that in the best possible way.
Right.
So,
well, see,
you guys are talking my language. I'm interested.
I'll tell you what. I had no expectations because I never read the comic. Went into it just like, I got to see it because it's a comic-based series. I got to at least check it out. And I haven't stopped. It's like, it's there. I have to watch it. I'll tell you, the best thing about it for me was seeing Jackie Earle Haley. You know, Kelly Leak. I mean, come on. Or Rorschach. Or that guy from Second Chance, you know. Did he put weight on just for this role? I wonder, you know. I want to look into that, find out if he did, because he's got a big old pot belly and that rounded face.
Yeah, he's usually more gaunt, isn't
he?
Gaunt.
Yeah.
Very, very frail looking.
Yeah, especially as Rorschach, or, you know, it's like, that was, or what was the series, Second Chance, that is another comic book-based TV series that didn't last long, but he played the techno nerd, whatever. But he was like super skinny, and then you see him here, and he's got—I mean, his head. I was looking at the last episode where they're really talking to him before the preacher converted him. But anyway, they show on his face, you know, those glasses again that made it all. But he's round. It's like almost a Charlie Brown round head. It's really comic booky, and it's really cool. And his delivery of all the lines are just beautiful. So, yeah, again, there's so many good actors in this that just make it even better. And knowing that they went different from the comic book, I think I actually like that idea because, like you said, I've read this all before, you know? It's like, what's going to be new? So, but that's it. They're creating it all new. Kirk, what's your feelings on the whole thing?
Well, me and Tim were talking about this earlier, you know, since we both had knew the source material. And yeah, I think it was probably Tim or Jason that introduced me to it. Which I just really, really enjoyed the writing and the artwork and everything about the book. It just really works well. Mm-hmm. And it just seemed to get more and more outrageous. And, you know, because you're basically dealing with the guy that's more powerful than God.
Right.
You know, in the comic. And he's got both sides. He's got the good and the evil. So the situations that they would get into and the villains and everything else were just fucking insane.
Right.
Yeah.
But I like, just like Tim was saying, I like how this has taken the skeleton or the, you know, the basic idea of it and kind of turned it over, especially with the female character who's, you know, they were so weak and, you know, it was a male point of view.
Nobody had even thought of a character like that in 1993. No.
So, I mean, I really, really enjoy it. I went into it. I actually even forgot it was on, and I think you told me that it finally started. But I mean, every episode, I'm enjoying it more and more. So I'm really curious to see what they're gonna, you know, where it's gonna go once he, you know, gets moving.
Yeah,
and you know, knows what he can do. You know, because it's just now the infancy of it. You know, him testing out what he can do, and it's a really good show.
Yeah. Well, definitely well written, definitely well acted, definitely a beautiful picture to look at. I think it's got everything going for it that they need to have go for it. And I'm hoping it goes on for several seasons, because if they can keep storytelling like this, we could get some great stuff out of it. Again.
Yeah, and it's nice to see that, you know, you guys are, Tim hasn't watched it yet, but, you know, not having any of the source material and you liking it and identifying, that is the main idea of what the book was about. So it can attract so many more people now, which is great.
Yeah.
Well, and we're living in an age where, like, at the time, Preacher, it's a Garth Ennis book, right?
Yes.
And that means it's going to really push the envelope of what is considered to be in the realm of good taste or even acceptable boundaries of conversation. You know, he's always been into pushing that level of discomfort. And I remember when it came out in the early 90s, being just shocked kind of at how violent and profane and absolutely disrespectful to any concept of organized religion, you know,
right.
All these things and not hostile to it, but just not treating it as if it's a sacred cow that you can't talk about or criticize, you know?
Right.
And we live in an era now where culture has come around to where Preacher was then. So this is really an ideal place and time for this show to be made. You know, after finding out it was going to be on the network that gave us Breaking Bad, I knew that there was a chance that this show could go to as conflicted and morally strange places, you know, as the comic did. And I feel like it's going there, you know, and I don't know. I'm very, like, there's a thing that happens, and I don't want to spoil it, whatever, for you, Tim, but, you know, where a character is persuaded to do something at the end of this most recent episode that he would not have ordinarily done. And I think the ramifications of that are going to be absolutely horrific.
So I know, right?
I'm excited and terrified to find out what it all means.
So. Damn, I can't wait to see that. Right? I didn't see the last one.
So. Oh, you haven't seen it yet?
No.
Man. Yeah. Okay. Without spoiling, but what's going to happen? I mean, this guy's like, it's totally opposite of where he just converted him, so to speak, if a good way to put it, maybe. How's that going to affect the rest of the town and everything?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it was funny. I mean, the school bus driver, you know, that was kind of a funny when he turned him around. But the funny part was like when she got on the bus, who are you? So,
yeah. Oh, was that the last episode, that one?
No. Okay. I jumped to that.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think we've seen the last of that guy either. I think that I think that there's, yeah, this is...
Well, this last episode, the school bus kept driving around like almost every scene. How weird was that?
Yeah, we keep seeing it. Like, if I feel like in every episode, we see more and more of that school bus.
Yeah, oh, wow. It's weird. And,
crazy.
And then, I mean...
It sounds really creepy.
Yeah, it can be, actually. And the whole opening scene, almost like a one-shot film, basically, you see the mascot walk by. There's the bus driving by. Somebody gets hit or a gunshot goes off, and just the whole sequence was like the first four pages of a comic book. And
yeah.
I was like, this is beautiful. And I'm like, I'm glad I'm watching this. I'm glad to live in the age I live in now.
Oh, that's a really good point that Tim brought up. Can you imagine this show being made like in the 90s or
nope.
the 80s? I mean, there's no way.
Twin Peaks was the closest thing we had to Bizarre back then.
Well, you know, I was telling Tim, this has had many incarnations to almost get on film and on television, starting in like the late 90s.
Yeah.
Garth had written a screenplay.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah. And it was optioned for a movie. That kind of fell apart. And then you'll like this one, Gil. Kevin Smith had the second option on it.
Oh, wow.
To direct it and to cast it. And that fell through.
Wasn't that
and
what I just saw? Yoga hosers?
We yeah.
dodged a bullet. Dodged
oh
a bullet on that.
Gosh, yeah. But it you know, it went through a bunch of different. James Marsden was actually cast in the movie as the preacher at one point.
Wow, that would have been interesting.
Right, but to see it end up in the lap of Rogan and Adam.
That shocked me.
Yeah,
Seth Rogen coming out with this.
I got to give props to him because I admired him trying to do something different with Green Hornet, but it didn't really come off for me for the most part. And so I was really not enthusiastic about him being the guy who was doing Preacher. But man, not that it's all him, but I'm saying that, I think that it was probably him and his partner. That
Goldberg.
Green Hornet,
right?
Too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Evan Goldberg.
Yeah.
And but I got to say, they did right by us on this one. So,
I mean, it's obvious they understand.
Yeah.
What or appreciate what it was trying to say.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you the casting too. I mean, like you said, Howard Stark from the Marvel Cinematic Universe is playing Preacher. I would have never thought that in a million years. Seeing that role that he did as Howard Stark, this is completely different, and he's doing it so great. Then you got of course Jackie Earle Haley. I mean, that's another completely different role than what he's done. Well, not really that much different. It's just there's some differences. He's still got the kind of a bad guy feel. Rorschach was still a bad guy in some aspects. So, But yeah, I don't know. Definitely one of those that Tim Matson. If we haven't convinced you yet, just watch the first episode, and we don't need to say any more.
No, you've definitely got me. My interest has peaked. And it really was, it was one that was kind of on my radar and, for a variety of reasons. I mean, shoot, I just let it slip. I just never got around to it.
And there's so much competition.
It really is. I mean, it's such a great time to love nerdy stuff because there's so many things that you could be watching or reading or listening to that caters to what you love. I mean, it's great to have choices.
Yeah, I mean, now we can complain about superhero movies.
Right? Yeah. Like,
who would have ever thought about that?
Right. We have a range of options.
Right.
It's
unbelievable.
That's a really great point. I mean, we don't have to settle for crap. I mean, we really don't.
I got to throw this in real quick here. Right before we started the podcast tonight, recording, I was watching Superman 2, okay? And... I actually didn't watch the whole thing, obviously, because we had to do the podcast, but I watched, I think, about the first hour of it, and I'm like thinking, that was more of a Superman comic book than what this crap was we were loaded on this summer. You know, that Superman 2, and that wasn't even the best one out of the series, really.
No.
But the whole thing, I mean, I'm watching every aspect. Lois Lane looked like Lois Lane from the comics. He didn't go out purposely to save her. And here's the thing I thought was interesting, watching Superman 2 tonight. The opening credits are all, here's what happened last time. and
yeah,
in the between
the Leon, Superman the movie.
Yeah. And I was like, that's cool. I mean, even though I didn't need to be reminded, but there were probably some people, and I was like, oh, that's kind of a neat way to do that. You know, and that's the thing. When we back in when those movies came out, those were our superhero come to life movies. You know, and then the '80s we had the Batman movies by Tim Burton, and it's like, oh, Batman on film, you know. And mm-hmm. now look where we are now. I mean, like you said, Kirk, now we can complain about superhero movies.
Right.
Well, speaking of the movie that shall not be named, did you read Snyder's comments this week about the Justice League, about having learned their lesson?
No.
That's what it sounded like. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
No, it did not sound like they learned their lesson. What he said, really, once you parse out what he's actually said, what he learned was the audience just didn't get what he was trying to do. So he's going to have to give them what they wanted. I mean, it's what it really boils down to.
Yeah. Is
he's admitting to no fault.
No, of course
whatsoever.
Not.
He's just realizes we just didn't get what he was doing, so he's going to have to do something different now.
Well, I mean, what it means? See, I honestly believe that Man of Steel and the other one are truly, in his mind, the best, very best Superman movies he can make. Like, it's exactly the movie he wants to make. This is what it is to him. I truly believe that that's his passion. And what that says to me is that he has a terrifying bottomless pit where his soul should be.
Mm-hmm. I don't doubt the veracity of that statement either. I think those are the best he can make.
Yeah. I'd agree with that.
But I mean, but and it isn't even like Kevin Smith where there is no grandiosity left to his self-image, and he's always extremely humble in his presentation, and he's very humble in his ambitions. And I think that Zack Snyder really thinks that he is like top of his game, A-list, making great movies kind of guy. And that's what's amazing, the lack of self-awareness that you're talking about, Tim. I mean, he really he's not get it.
He reminds me of and Brett Ratner in a way.
Oh my God.
That same kind of schmarmy ass.
Well, there's
I just want to punch him in his face.
You got your Cheap Trick tickets.
IGN about this. IGN did a whole big write up on Justice League, and they went to the set and watched some stuff, and it really was fascinating. Once you really get down to the nitty gritty of what he's saying and what the production team is saying, they haven't learned anything. I mean, they really haven't.
Now, I really, and I honestly mean this, I'm looking forward to Affleck's standalone Batman movie.
Yeah.
And I really think, as a director, he's really on top of his game.
Yeah. I think he can
cautiously
get
optimistic.
It. Yeah. I think he can get it, though. I mean, he's a comic book fan from way back. You know, he's a fan before he became the actor of the comic book, so...
The same production team is going to be involved in it. So, I mean, is it going to have...
He's going to be writing it.
No, I get that. I'm not saying there isn't cause for being happy that's being made. I'm happy it's
right,
being
right,
made.
Right, right, right.
That's the cautiously in your optimistic part, right?
Exactly. Oh, yeah. At the end of the day, the entire production staff is going to be touching and feeling all over this film. Yeah. And at the end of the day, is some of the stank from those other two films going to rub off on it? That's what I'm
unavoidably.
Working. No, that's without a doubt.
But that said, I mean, I would say that with all three of the Christopher Nolan Batman movies, I will argue quite a lot of feeling about there being some extremely stanky portions of all three of them, including The Dark Knight, which is a great movie.
Right.
I'll say it's a great movie. And there are really big things in that movie that are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think that overall it's a good movie. The first one I think is pretty good. And the third one, not so much.
They had Tom Hardy, one of the best actors around now. And they just
Yeah,
just completely screwed
They really
the pooch.
Kinda did.
I do not know what you mean.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you. Yeah.
What I'm saying is, as terrible as that was, okay, the third one's the only one where I would maybe say it was actually a failure, you know? And it wasn't all bad, but I actually...
I don't think it's a failure. I think that's being a bit harsh, but I don't think it was good.
But the point is that I think that based on the fact that Ben Affleck was by far the best thing about the Batman versus Superman movie, and I thought was able to project humanity. And
and he's big. He's like he looks like Batman.
I would kind of
buy, physically.
Right. He's the first screen Batman that I've actually bought as being Batman, you know, and I don't know. I think if he, you know, who, you know, he can write a script.
Yeah.
So if his creative vision is able to, if he's able to satisfy himself on a Batman movie, then I think it will at least be interesting.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be perfect, but I put it this way. After the BVS stuff, I honestly don't care if I see another one of those movies. But his movie, I'll check it out. I'll give it the benefit of the doubt.
Speaking of someone who has yet to see the BVS disaster, I am actually looking forward to Batman and will watch it when it comes out, I believe. But I'm not interested in the Justice League film at all. I'm just not, not at all.
Yeah, with Cyborg?
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
No. Oh, I just want to punch him in the crotch.
Whose idea?
You'll hurt your knuckles. I
mean, is it just me, or does it seem just really, like, blasphemous that he's a member of the Justice League and not the Teen Titans?
I know, right? Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, it is.
It really is. It's like, why?
I don't understand why him. Well, I mean, you could say that it's a diversity play and that they wanted to have an African-American person.
I get that.
Which I get, but why him?
Why not Jon Stewart?
Right.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly, right?
Jon Stewart's a badass Green Lantern.
Yes.
He's the right age, and he belongs there.
But Cyborg is like, you know, okay, the Teen Titans cartoon aside, where he's funny, he's the most boring guy because he's whiny, and he hates his dad, and his dad's a disappointment, and everything's just really sad, and oh, the angst. And it's like, I don't know. I don't want to spend time with this guy. He's unpleasant, you know? He's got a big chip on his shoulder, and he's no fun.
Are you kidding?
His name is Cyborg.
He's a shoo-in for this movie because of the parent issues.
Yeah, exactly.
If his mother's name Martha, I will shoot someone.
Oh,
yeah.
My parents' name was also Martha. Both of my parents.
While we're on the subject here, what do you guys think about Suicide Squad coming out? It's coming out really soon here. So what do you guys think about that movie?
Please don't suck.
I'm going
too.
My expectations are very low. I hope I'm pleasantly surprised. It is not going to be Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
No.
But
boy, does it wish it was.
Oh, they want us to think it's like a more street version of Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm sorry, there are not enough reshoots in the world to do that. But
no.
Jai Courtney and Will Smith.
I don't know.
They would have to pull that Joker completely out of this film and recast for me to be interested in seeing this at all. I'm just not. That f***ing damaged tattoo on the middle of his forehead, it kills me. It f***ing kills me.
Really? How do you really feel? Come on.
I'll tell you how I feel. I feel like a whiny piece of crap when I pick on something that small. But again, they put a tattoo in the center of the Joker's forehead that says damaged.
I mean, it's the equivalent of Batman wearing a sign around his neck that said, "I watched my mommy and daddy get shot."
Orphan.
Jesus. Come on, guys.
I'll tell you what, there are two people in the world who do not think the Joker is damaged. One of them is Harley Quinn and the other one is the Joker.
Right.
Yeah.
The Joker believes that he is just fine.
Yep. Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And everyone else is crazy.
So that's one of those things where you think, okay, is this like people that draw Superman and the curl doesn't make an S, or he doesn't have the curl, and you know you're in trouble if they don't get that right? You know, is it like the green M&Ms in the Van Halen rider?
I mean, that damaged thing is the canary in the coal mine.
Yeah.
That bird is f***ing dead.
Yeah.
Get out.
I mean, physically, he's a really good choice to play the Joker.
It could be,
just
from a physical standpoint, visually,
too.
Yeah. But yeah, with the grill and the you know, the tattoos and all that. But he's almost female like.
Right.
You know, he's so like slender and weird looking like the Joker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm starting to feel like we need to give you some alone time, Kurt.
Well,
I'll be right back.
He's so smooth. And...
Well, I'm thinking of Fight Club, Jared Leto, and you know.
Do you know he plays in a band?
But snappy dresser.
Oh. But here's the thing, you know, if you're gonna fuck up big, right?
Mm-hmm. I think I
appreciate what again. This is me trying to give the benefit of the doubt. Damage thing is absolutely very well maybe the tip of a horrible iceberg. But on the other hand, like when I saw Heath Ledger, and I'm sure this is in no danger of displacing Heath Ledger's Joker, but when I saw Heath Ledger's Joker, I was like shocked because it was so different, but it was bold to do something that was that different, but it was great and it's indelible. And
I thought it was going to be garbage. I was like, Heath Ledger, this is bull.
Right. Yeah.
And Preacher is incredibly incredibly different from the comic, which is bold. And
right.
B, the show is just, I think, morally bold anyway, and it's going into territory that might make people really uncomfortable. And that's better than being cautious and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know what I mean? Where everything is so, you know, safe. And, you know, again, it could be terrible. But I salute them for doing something radically different, and I don't want them to fail. That said, I don't have a ton of confidence, but at least they have my attention.
Yeah. I think the rest of the cast, other than Will Smith, I think the rest of the cast have that potential. Even the little Harley Quinn, there's some potential in the way she's portraying the character that, at least in the trailer, at least from the stuff we see now, that... You know, that could hold my interest a little. We'll see.
And she is a good actress.
Yeah. I mean, oh, yeah, yeah.
She really is. And she's hot. I mean, she's extremely hot.
Extremely hot, yeah.
I didn't notice.
So she pulled it off?
Not as hot as the Joker, but she's hot.
Tim, I think you and I can agree. In fact, I think we can all agree that we would all love to be pleasantly surprised by this movie.
For sure.
Absolutely. I would like to have people saying you have to go see this,
right? Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen, but
I would love for nothing more than to have this be like Guardians of the Galaxy and have something that totally defies my expectations of what it's capable of. Because I really didn't think the Guardians was going to be much of anything either. I thought it might be their first misstep, and it turned out to be glorious.
Well, I think you know the main reason why Guardians was so awesome, Tim, is because you went to the theater with me and we hung out together and saw it. I mean, it could have probably movie probably sucked. We just had a good time.
That did help. I won't deny it.
So, well, you know, we're talking about Harley Quinn here at Indie PopCon. You know, we talked about this when we interviewed Sean Smith with Indie PopCon about putting the moratorium on Harley Quinn and Deadpool cosplay.
Oh, no kidding!
I think they did. I saw three Deadpools. That was it. Three Deadpools.
God.
I saw three Harley Quinns.
Wow.
And I saw one new Harley Quinn. I saw one old Harley Quinn. And I saw one that was a mix between the two. And the one that was a mix between the two, basically she had like the old Harley Quinn style going, but she was wearing the really super shorty shorts. And it looked pretty good. But, but
I mean, I don't care where you're at. If you're at a convention... Yeah. You could spin in a circle, close your eyes, and throw a brick and kill a Harley Quinn cosplayer.
Or Deadpool. And that's the thing. At Indie PopCon,
guaranteed to hit one of them.
Yeah, on the busiest day of it, when we were there Saturday, the busiest day, I only saw three of each. But
that's unbelievable.
Yeah, and then I thought with the movie coming out, I was going to see a lot more Harley. So, but I'll live with it. So, but anyway, yeah, you know what? Here's the deal. I'm going to be at Suicide Squad on the premiere night, you know, the midnight showing before the Friday release at the Eagle Theater. I'll be first in line. I'm going to go watch this on the, you know, and I'm going to buy my popcorn. I'm going to sit down in the center of the theater and I'm going to say, entertain me. I'm going to be a Kurt Cobain and say, here I am, now entertain me. And they better. If they don't, I don't know. I'm going to let you guys know. But I will be there.
However, we'll be speaking with my money, and if this sucks, they're not getting it.
Kirk and I will go see it, won't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. We have each other to, like, console each other with some hero cake after the movie.
Big splatter cake.
I'm down here all by myself, and no shoulder to cry on. It's terrible.
Well, I tell you what, guys, cook him up some hero cake, mail it to him, that way he'll have it. Or now, wait, so, this time it might be Jared Leto cake, Tim. You might be ready for that, for coming from Kirk to the...
I don't know, man.
So, all right, well, yeah, we're for the most part, we'll be there hoping, and if it turns out to be pretty good, if we give it a... All right, what kind of a rating are you? Would we be able to give to you, Tim, that would let you go see it? I mean, other than saying, oh, that's freaking outstanding, what would it take? What's the minimum you'd go with?
I mean, as long as it's a passable film and tells a good story and is fun to watch without it being just dreadful, I'll go see it. But... I mean, if it's another dreary, no color, no fun superhero movie, I'm not interested, right, man. I'm just, it's too much of a freaking downer. And this is, I don't know, this to maybe talk about something else this week, a couple weeks that's been happening, the DC Rebirth.
Yes.
In the comics. I mean, that, I actually read a Batman comic today, guys, in which Batman smiled twice. It was
Bruce Wayne.
It was thrilling. No, this was Batman in full-on Batman garb, smiling. Two times.
Jeez.
It was a little off-putting at first. I'm like, oh, wait, no, he can smile. Okay.
But cool. Did it work?
It did work, actually. Okay. I'm cautiously optimistic. I read the first issue of Rebirth, the miniseries, and, man, it was like a breath of fresh air. I hadn't read a comic that felt like this in a long time. I'm really into it. I'm excited.
Well, now I understand this Rebirth has got something to do with Dr. Manhattan 2. What is he doing in a DC comic? A real DC comic.
Yeah, I mean that's the one thing I am a little hesitant on. I mean, this is a big spoiler alert. If you're listening to this and you're interested in reading Rebirth and don't want to be spoiled, skip ahead a little bit. But apparently the Watchmen have been brought over into the DC universe,
mm-hmm.
All right, hang on, stick with me. But apparently, Dr. Manhattan, the New 52, the run of the New 52 was because Dr. Manhattan stole 10 years from the DC universe and tinkered with it.
Okay,
and now it's getting back on track with Wally West reappearing in the DC universe right out, you know, coming fresh from the from Flashpoint.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Jeff Johns, but you don't get to pretend Dr. Manhattan did that. You did that, Jeff Johns. You made those comics.
Dan DiDio. I think
you
it is
you guys do
unfair.
Not get to pretend that it's Dr. Manhattan's fault.
Yeah.
Anyway, it is
unfair to blame to shift the blame from editorial staff of DC when they really should shoulder. And to be honest, I mean, this comic reeks of a company saying, yeah, okay, we know we f***ed up here. Have a fun superhero comic again.
Well,
yeah, but again, okay, and this is just me being Captain Neckbeard, right? But honestly,
you got a fedora.
I need a fedora and a trench coat, and yeah. Call me Captain Neckbeard. But how does the idea of the inevitability of Superman trying to punch Dr. Manhattan in the face not make you want to kill yourself? I mean, like, I just mean that, like, there is such a tragic inevitability to the Watchmen. Well, first of all, it's Watchmen becoming a Watchmen universe that is an alternate universe that the Flash can get on the dimensional, you know, treadmill and go to, just like Earth 2 or Earth 3 or Earth Prime or Earth X or any of the other ones. Like, what is even the point? Like there is no good reason to do it except, oh, well, this is an asset that is highly regarded, and I believe we can monetize it plus 150% in Q3. Like, It is such a nakedly corporate commercial calculation to do. There is no way. Like, if this was really like something that Jeff Johns and Dan DiDio thought up between themselves, and it wasn't a corporate dictum, you know, saying you have to monetize these characters that we own. Like, if it was actually them saying, God, you know what would be great is if for some reason Dr. Manhattan hid Rorschach's logo button in the wall of the Batcave because he knows that comic book fans know what that logo is. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way that anybody would come into this writing it as if, I think this is the best story I can tell with Batman. It is the brand manager special. It's as terrible as Gotham, you know, which is, well, we can't waste Batman on a TV show, but boy, it's a shame we can't make TV show money off of Batman. So why don't we make a Batman show without Batman? This is everything that I hate about corporate comic BS.
Watchmen was DC?
Watchmen was DC, yeah. And it's been, I mean, before Watchmen, you know, hit and miss, but it wasn't terrible.
Right.
But I don't want to watch Batman punch Rorschach, do you?
No.
Are you like sitting here thinking, oh man, it's going to be so cool when the Silk Spectre meets Wonder Woman, right? Or when, you know, they go back in time and there's some kind of, you know, Dr. Midnight and Mr. Terrific from the Golden Age go and team up with the Comedian and you know, Golden Age Silk Spectre. Like, who wants to read that?
Yeah.
Slow down. I'm still back there with Wonder Woman and the Silk Spectre. Hang on.
Okay, all right.
Now Tim needs some alone time.
Okay, bad example of something that is undesirable, okay? But my point is, from a storytelling perspective, where is there even to go with this?
No, I totally get what you're saying. I really do. And to be honest, I'm just going to say I don't care, because they're going to do this anyway. I mean,
right.
They're going to monetize. They're going to drag these characters into this universe. In my mind, these are not the Watchmen. They just aren't.
Yeah,
they
good
just
point.
Are not. That miniseries is forever going to exist on its own, off to the side, and forever will not be touched. I didn't even bother with the before Watchmen because I just don't need anything else out of that. It is a self-contained, perfectly constructed story that doesn't need a before or after. That's it.
Yeah. And well, that's why I don't want to see them in more comics.
Well,
but it's a good way to rewind the tape and start over again.
I don't know if it's a good way, but it's a way.
Yeah, there. Yeah, a way.
It's a way. And to be honest, whatever gets this new 52 off the stands, I'm okay with just about. And that's, you know, maybe I'm letting him off the hook a little too easy just because I'm tired of seeing scowling faces on every DC book.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm a little bit like a hostage that has Stockholm syndrome. I'm like, okay guys, whatever it takes, I'm a team player. Sure. Sure, the Comedian's button is there, whatever, you know, or Rorschach's button is there. Dr. Manhattan reshaped everything, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Look at his big blue penis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait to see Superman sock him right in the dick.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, right, I know what you mean. And that's the thing is, as fans, we put up with garbage like this all the time, you know. But to me, this is almost like a Star Wars special edition thing, you know, the classic quote, like the very best thing I heard about the Star Wars special edition that anybody ever said, as far as summing up my point of view, is the Star Wars original trilogy special edition doesn't remind me of how much I love Star Wars. It reminds me of how much George Lucas pisses me off. Right.
Yeah.
Because you spend the whole time stressed out about when the next crappy new thing is going to be put in that's aesthetically inferior to what they did with traditional effects, you know, 30 years ago. So, like, this is the same thing where, like, I don't even want to go there because seeing those characters will just remind me of what I don't like about modern comics. And it's a shame because I want to see them do a DC universe that is less like, less enthralled to the whole gritty Batman flavor. You know, I would love that. I don't know why it has to. Well, I know why, because like you said, it's inevitable, but that's not enough for me. I get filled with murderous rage, and then out comes the rant. And then you're also,
yeah. Marvel would never do anything like that.
Oh, no, never. See, that's the thing. I used to think, boy, I wish that Marvel would have had something like Watchmen or The Dark Knight Returns back in the 80s. What would that have been like? But now I'm glad.
Because
they don't have anything like that that they can drag out and take a big crap all over to make an extra couple of $1,000s this year.
Yeah, so we dodged
Captain
the bullet.
America's in Hydra.
No. But that is just another stunt.
Yep.
Yeah, but that's way more defensible than the Watchmen thing.
I'm sure it is.
It's absolutely defensible because Captain America's been brainwashed or controlled at various times. He's been a Nazi at one point, you know, under the control of Hitler in the comics temporarily. Gotcha. And that's just what this is going to be.
Mm-hmm. They can write their way out of it. It'll be fine.
No, the outrage over that is so stupid.
Yeah.
It was so ridiculous.
Yeah, I was so surprised. I was like, what? Why is everybody all up in arms? I mean, have you never read a comic book before?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a shock issue. It'll pass. Don't worry about it.
I mean, you accepted the Winter Soldier. What? I mean,
right.
That's exactly what we're talking about here.
They did it. Lucky.
I mean, come on.
Honestly, they should call. We should change the name of this podcast to "This Isn't Our First Rodeo."
Yeah, true.
Nah, then we'll get a bunch of cowboys listening, and
that's true.
They wouldn't get it.
You guys talking about branding?
Yeah, but I'll bet they wish they knew how to quit us.
That's not right. Well, you know, I guess Marvel did have that Spider-Man clone thing that they, of course, they. Try to sweep that under the rug and say that never happened.
That was kind of poop to begin with.
It was.
Well, it is what the Captain America Hydra thing is. It's a crappy retcon that'll get written out after a little while.
Yep.
The sales bump is over with. You know,
to be honest, now this might be a little bit of a critique of the artwork in the issue. I just kind of revisited it today before we recorded this, and I was looking at the last panel. I'm like, that scientist dude from S.H.I.E.L.D. that's tied up in the plane, that looks like Steve Rogers to me, kind of. Is that Steve Rogers and the dude that's in the Captain America outfit not Steve Rogers? What, you know, maybe that's it. But
I guess.
I mean, to be honest, the way the guy was scowling at Captain America made me think, I don't know, maybe that's Steve Rogers.
Well, or not that... That camouflaged octopus.
Yeah.
Hey, Hydra. Come on.
Yeah.
Cephalopods got to stick together.
Could be. We'll never know. But, well, hey, wait. No, Disney owns Marvel. Never mind. DC. Well, I don't know. Would they do that? Yeah, they would. Disney would mess up Marvel.
Finding Namor, right?
Finding Namor.
Finding Namor.
And he is dead now, isn't he?
Oh, I don't know. Probably. For a while.
I mean, he's dead to me.
Namor, you're
characters
dead.
I care less about than Namor. Namor.
Darius Rex.
Well, they're going to send Ellen DeGeneres after him, and we'll find out. So,
I mean, I was really broken up when they killed Jack Flagg in this issue of Cap. I mean, what a tragedy that was.
Continuity is littered with disposable characters.
I mean, jeez. I mean, I don't know if that was supposed to be like a big shocking moment, but I literally didn't know who the hell Jack Flagg was when we started the issue.
No, they did the same thing in the first issue of Winter Soldier, where another one of Cap's old sidekick substitutes gets killed, you know.
Yeah.
And it's you know, it's a kind of a common thing where you find some semi-meaningless character that nobody has a lot invested in from 20 years ago, and you bring him back for one issue and put a bullet in their head or whatever. It's like, oh!
I gotta say, man, I really wish, and I know going forward they say they're going to have two different Captain Americas. I think that's bull. I honestly wish that they had stuck to their guns and left Steve Rogers as this old fart and let Sam Wilson be Captain America.
Yeah.
I agree.
Because, I mean, have some guts, go with something your writers have come up with and stick to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because well, I just, I, I don't know if I'm the only one, but I feel a little uncomfortable with the notion of there having to be two Captain Americas because one's black and one's white.
Right.
I don't like the subtext to that.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
and Sam Wilson's a cool ass character. Let him have the spotlight for a while.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, that was the idea, you know. Well, okay, now I'm going back to to paleo Marvel geek times, but you know, for the first, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, Marvel Comics took place in real time. You know, yeah, the characters actually aging and developing, and the idea was always that, you know, like, that Tony is going to age out of being Iron Man, and he's going to pass along the armor, and that was always sort of supposed to happen. But, you know, fans complain and they want their favorite back, and that's why we're stuck with freaking Hal Jordan again, and that's why Barry Allen had to come back, and that's why, you know, why Wally West, white Wally West, had to come back, because black Wally West wasn't Wally West enough.
And, yeah.
And, you know, it's this kind of reactionary impulse in fandom where everything has to be the way it was, what I like. It's not good anymore, you know? So you can only play with the stuff on the board for so long and move it around, and then there's going to be a reset. And that's why nobody should get their panties in a bunch about Hail Hydra Cap.
Yeah, absolutely.
He should do the. He should come back as Nomad.
That's it.
With his cape.
Right. And the shirt that's open to the belly button.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a big hit, right? Yeah.
Oh, man. That's
the kids love that. How about U.S. Agent? Yeah, let's do that.
Oh, yeah. Solid gold.
Mm-hmm. Solid gold idea.
The thing is, what the hell else are you going to do? Captain America has been not almost, but not quite, continuously in print since 1941.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's missed a few years here and there. But how are you not going to run out of legit stuff to do after all that time? How are you not going to try something crazy like Hail Hydra Cap or whatever? Yeah. Or, you know, I'm going to go be a man who walks with his left foot in the gutter. Or, oh, I'm Superman, and I'm all of a sudden Superman going to act like I don't know anything about normal people, and so I'm going to walk across the country in a dumb, dumb storyline.
And, you know, I got to say, there's a section in this comic where the writers are clearly trying to ape Donald Trump with this whole speech by the Red Skull.
But, oh, absolutely.
But I have to say, the Red Skull sounds relatively straightforward and level-headed, comparatively.
Awesome.
His speech makes total sense. It's not overly frightening. It's just frightening enough to be like, oh, I don't like the sound of that. But he sounds way more reasonable than Donald Trump. I found that amazing.
Tim found his candidate.
He must be using a teleprompter.
Something. I mean, he's on message at the very least.
Well said.
All right, well, tell you what, this problem will never, ever, ever be solved because we're comic book fans. We're going to either hate it, we're either going to love it, sometimes both, a little bit of everything. But
hate to love it.
At least, if nothing else, it gives us podcast material.
That's
right. So, well, let's call an end to this podcast. And, you know, we've got things to do. I heard someone yawn earlier, and I'm not going to point any fingers because you wouldn't be able to see him because this is all audio. But anyway, somebody yawned. And so let's call an end. So, all right, before we close out, once again, don't forget nerduppodcast.com. Geek Fuel, Loot Crate, the great subscription boxes. I love it. You never know what you're going to get. And for like $25, you get like $40 worth of merchandise. That's just a fun thing to have. So go to nerduppodcast.com, click on the links, sign up. We get a little kickback there, by the way, so that we can continue with the podcast. And then also, you know, get a t-shirt. They're always good. Look good. Go to the cons and you can cosplay as a Nerd Up podcaster. I ought to try that.
I like that.
So, all right. So let's call an end to this thing. I guess I'm Guilty Wilson. You can reach me on Twitter at Gil Wilson.
I'm Tim Coker. You can reach me on Twitter at Tim K Has to Say, but I never check Twitter, so good luck. But if you want to see my dogs, I've got an Instagram feed for my dogs. It's Oak Bark, OakBark. So if you want to see my dogs just hanging around because, you know, I don't have a very exciting life, then but my dogs are super cute. So, you know, Oak Park on Instagram, you can always check that one out.
Cool.
And I'm Tim Matson. You can find me at Tim Gone Mad.
This is Kirk Gilman. No one's allowed to find me. I'll find you.
Talk to you. All right, guys. Well, like we say at the end of each and every episode, stay nerdy.